You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right, and saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, hey, bringing on somebody here to help us sort of dissect this storyline that I've been going with. Number one on the Triple Dipper today, I've been covering down the erosion of the VA, mostly based upon the Biden vaccine mandates. And I started off by just mentioning to you that a guy named Sean Taylor, he's an investigative reporter for 1819 News. You hear me talk about them all the time. Well, he's their investigative reporter, did a deep dive on the Birmingham VA, did a great job on the story. I thought, I got to bring him on. We got to talk about this. So Sean Taylor, like I said, investigative journalist, focuses on in-depth coverage of emerging issues in Alabama here. Graduate of the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse, got a law degree from the University of Mississippi School of Law. And he's a former managing editor of the Journal of Space Law, and he's on the phone. Sean Taylor, how you doing, man?
Good afternoon, sir. We speak at last.
Well, glad to have you on the show, man. I appreciate you taking some time with us.
Of course. I appreciate the coverage that you've given to this VA story.
Well, absolutely. And great job writing it. I got to ask you right off the bat, my audience now is kind of familiar, if they've been listening the last half hour, of what the basis of the story is. But how long did it take you to develop this story? Because there's a lot of facts, figures, and sort of in-depth writing here.
Well, it really came down to being able to talk to all the different healthcare workers. And really, I have to thank all of them for their generosity and sharing their story. And about a week or so of interviews, and then we had to kind of check out the documentation and fact check and just make sure that we were good to go. And so we ran it yesterday, and the feedback's been great so far. Again, our focus is 1819. We're not trying to scandalize. We're not trying to play gotcha, certainly with the VA leadership. We're just trying to inform the citizens of Alabama about what's really going on. And half my work so far since I've joined has sort of been COVID related. So this was consistent, and we're really just looking for an objective understanding of the reasoning behind some of these decisions, you know, the metrics and how were the harms balanced from the benefits. And I suppose I'm talking in past tense, but it's, as we've been discussing, it's still very much present tense, and we're still dealing with it.
Well, and so let me ask you this. I mean, investigative reporting sometimes comes in waves. I mean, like this story may be a developing story. You broke it now. Do you see more developing? Have there been others come forth and said, hey, you wrote that story, I want to tell you my part of it? I mean, have you had new input that you're going to wind up developing, you think?
I definitely think that there's more to the story and more that we'll end up reporting on. It was an interesting sort of cascade over that week and a half, because I started talking to one or two, and I think they talked to a few colleagues who then reached out. And also have to thank Stephanie Holden Smith, one of our other contributors, for being really instrumental in helping connect me to some of the folks who were looking to share their story. So, as well as to Daniel Flickinger, one of the attorneys that we referenced in the story.
Yeah, and you quoted Daniel in the article too. And I tell you, one of the things I really appreciated, I mean, and sometimes I'm leery when I see that there's an unnamed source, and there's some less reputable so-called reporting in this state that will like to say anonymous sources say. You didn't do that. You named where they were, but you called them nurse one, nurse two, doctor one, but you provided actual copies of their documents, like emails they received and that kind of thing, to protect them from job, insecurity, more job insecurity. But yet you nailed this thing down with documentation and laid it all out there pretty clear.
I really appreciate it, sir. Again, we were trying to be protective of our sources, but at the same time, I appreciate the VA to responding at least. And as one of the sources said, I think this is more an example of sort of bureaucratic delay than, sort of management at the VA, doing anything nefarious per se, or you're a military man, the direction that these things come down. And so I think that the folks at the VA are trying to do the best they can. And as one of the nurses said, I think that they're just waiting for this to pass, hopefully. And they've been sort of delaying with the process.
Yeah,
but then again, as you were saying earlier, too, that change on April 18th to the handbook in regards to undue hardship.
Yeah.
That was 2 days before the actual notices went out. So,
yeah, that was handy.
An interesting series of events.
Well, that's called a CYA, quick change to the handbook. That's where legal counsel probably got involved and said, hey, we got to make a change real quick. But so let me ask you this. I don't, you may have heard part of the show. It sounded like you heard part of the show before you came on. I did play a clip earlier in my last segment in talking about this from the broad nationwide perspective. I mean, there are hospitals similar to Birmingham's VA Medical Center. There are hospitals in Kentucky and Wisconsin and Texas and Florida and elsewhere that are seeing similar issues, because we have well over 10,000 VA employees nationwide that are apparently, you know, still not vaccinated, and yet they're all still working by the bedsides. And so one of the things that really gets me is that they are deemed to be a potential hazard to the patient, but hey, keep working the bedside till we tell you different. But you got to get the shot. But yeah, keep working at the bedside till we tell you different. I mean, to me, I look at it and go, your own actions, VA, are sort of invalidating the need for this vaccine to provide proper care.
I mean, so I really did not intend this pun, but it's just not right.
And we'll take it.
I think that's the thing with some of the comments from the professionals in the article, that's what they were saying, that we're the ones who, you know, struggled through this on the front lines, who took the risks gladly because that's what we do. But now you're going to turn around and say that we're the problem? Again, it's just not right. So,
well, so let me ask you, right now the VA Medical Center, according to your article, says that one of the nurses says they've already had to close one of their ICUs. One of the doctors said they were 37% short on nurses before the forcing of this mandate. They're looking at getting rid of potentially 44 more nurses because of this. Have you had any additional response from the VA Medical Center or VA in general since your article came out yesterday?
Not since. Again, we're going to be looking to follow up and certainly see where the story leads. But as of now, things are still just sort of in a holding period, I guess.
And has there been anybody who has been able to define, because it was mentioned briefly in your article, the fact that the CDC came out and finally recognized natural immunities and talked about that as if it's an acceptable thing to discuss now, but the VA apparently is not accepting natural immunities, it appears. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct. And just for the listeners who may not have had a chance to either hear the last segment or to read the article yet, basically there's a number of folks who have gotten the first shot and had an adverse reaction to it, and whose physicians have advised against subsequent vaccines,
yeah,
or subsequent shots. And the VA is denying those medical exemptions, as well as all of the outstanding religious exemptions. And the other interesting caveat that may not even be completely clear from the article is that a number of these nurses are in the ICU or critical care units, basically. And so to take such a large number of such specialized nurses really does present a question of standard of care available to the veterans at that point. And it's really the essence of what we're trying to draw attention to.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things too that we really haven't talked about on my show today yet is the fact that apparently some of these healthcare professionals are already talking to Matt Clark at the Center for Law and Liberty. That's quoted in your article, and looking at, you know, developing potential legal action. And I find that to be pretty interesting. We'll have to have Matt on again to talk about that, I guess.
Indeed. Matt, I've written a number of stories too about how Matt has tried to bring actions in terms of COVID restrictions and whatnot. He's got a lawsuit currently against Governor Ivey and Scott Harris as the state public health officer for some of their restrictions through COVID. So he's certainly an authority to talk to on the subject.
So, hey, Sean, last question, I guess. Have you reached out to the State Department of Veterans Affairs and asked for a direct response from the State Department, or is your response has all been from the hospital staff themselves?
Well, the hospital staff themselves, and then, again, the communication specifically at the VA. We had reached out to other sort of national figures, and basically were referred back to the local VA. So that was kind of the centerpiece of the story. But as we're talking again, it's good ideas for subsequent stories to examine how this may be impacting other VA facilities across the state. So.
Yeah, and I guess too, have you heard from any veterans themselves who said that they've been turned away or told that their wait will be longer because of this particular issue?
Well, not particularly over the last week or two, but we've spoken to a number of other veterans over the last couple months who, in one form or another, have struggled with VA care either locally or nationally as a result of the shutdowns or limited availability and whatnot. So, again, it's something that genuinely has the potential to cause disruptions to the availability of care to our veterans who certainly deserve better.
Well, absolutely. You know, just when you think we're going to stop talking about COVID, we got other reasons. But Sean, hey, man, great job working on this. And I hope as the story develops, you'll sort of keep us posted, as you'll keep the world posted, I guess, through 1819 News. But thanks for your work on this so far, and thanks for making time today.
I certainly will, sir. Thank you for having me on. Look forward to being back.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. All right, Copper, go ahead and take us to the break, folks. That was Sean Patrick Taylor, investigative reporter for 1819 News. I'm telling you, if you've not checked out 1819news.com, that's 1819news.com, you should, because that's the kind of story that's up there right now, and it's real. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.